Greetings and welcome to another broadcast of Living Word Global, an outreach ministry of Living Word Christian Center Church in Reisterstown, Maryland. I'm Pastor Curtis, and once again, I'm glad to have you with us this morning. I'm glad that you took the time out of your morning to come and hear what thus says the Lord. We have a really good message for you this morning, coming straight from our pulpit, and we do believe that the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to lift you up and encourage you in this word. And I believe that for those who have not received the Lord at this time, that it's going to be the catalyst to push you right over the edge and cause you to come right into relationship with Christ. That's exactly what He wants from you. Do you realize that God has made every preparation to bring you into His family, to restore you to relationship with Him? We just ask that you would just come with us right now as we enter into the sanctuary to receive the Word of God. We pray that it will be a great blessing to you and that you'll pass it on to your friends and your family. Come on, go with me. Let's hear what thus says the Lord.
Take hold of buckler and shield and rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek my life. Let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let those who like to be, let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares. And let the net which he hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exalt his salvation. All my bones will say, wait a minute, all my bones will say, Lord, who is like you, who delivers the afflicted from him, who is too strong for him? And the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. Lord.
Lord.
Lord. Who is like you?
Yes, Lord.
Who is like you? Lord. Know about you. I believe the devil lost. You lost! Bless the name of the Lord. The devil lost another one. He's unfit for the battle.
Yes, Jesus.
He comes unequipped. It's just like showing up to football practice without your pads. Oh, yeah, he doesn't protect his head very well anyway, because I believe the scripture says.
Amen.
Well, a stomp on his head, so he comes to football practice without a helmet. And the Lord comes with a battle axe. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I serve God today. I'm so glad that the Lord is my Lord, that the Lord is my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul was so cast down.
But then I remembered. Then I remembered who I serve.
Right.
And all of a sudden, something inside of me began to lift up. And the Lord began to shine a light on all those things that were holding me down. And as I began to see them, as they became visible, I was able to do like this. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. Oh, yeah, you belong there. You stay. Hallelujah. The Lord will put a light on it. He'll put a light on it. He'll show you.
Oh, yeah.
He'll show you what's holding you back. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is take that thing and move it out. Get on out of here. You ain't supposed to be here.
Oh, that's good.
Devil be standing there saying, wait. I want that. Go take it with you when you go. I don't need it. It ain't doing nothing for my worship.
Hey,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right.
Oh, I'm so excited. I don't know what to do.
Thank you,
I don't think I'm going to preach the message. I really feel like putting some more worship on, to be honest with you. I'm being real honest right now. Because I'm telling you, look around you. Look around you. Come on, turn your head. Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. What do you see?
Hallelujah.
Come on, tell me what you see. What you see? Scream it out. What do you see?
Walls and chairs.
What else? What else do you see?
Microphone.
What else do you see? What else?
Computer.
Come on. What else? Come on.
Speaker.
Sound system.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's why we need to worship, because y'all ain't seeing it yet. Y'all just seeing the natural stuff. You see the chairs and the computer and all of those things you just said. But see, come on. Look around you. Come on. I'm asking you to open up your spiritual eyes. Come on. Look with me. There's something here. Can you not see it? Really? You really can't see it. You really can't. Oh, Lord. We need some more worship, Lord. Oh, God. You really can't. Seriously. You really can't see it.
Lord.
Look around. You just went, oh, Lord, have mercy. We just got to say, God, send your glory. We need your glory. We just got them singing. We just got them praying. We just got them asking. And you don't believe that he did it? Do you not believe that he did it? Look around you. I'm trying to tell you, look around you. Turn off the natural and look in the spiritual right now. Because, see, I'm looking at you, and I can tell you don't see it. I can tell you don't see it. I'm not trying to rip on you because I love you. But look around you. There's something about the glory of God that changes the atmosphere, but you got to know that it's there. You got to believe that if you cry out to God being his, that he hears you. And if he hears you and you're crying out for something that he's capable of, he's not going to turn his back. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, that's that Living Word Christian Fellowship Church again. They're always crying for something. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm never going to stop crying for the glory of God. We need your glory.
Yes, God.
Come on, somebody.
Glory, Jesus.
Send down your glory.
Thank you, Lord. Yes,
Jesus.
Shekinah glory.
Yes, Lord. Send
the weight of your glory.
Someone
just tell God that they need to see it. If you don't see it, tell God you need to see it.
Yes.
Tell him you need to see it so we can get to the next phase, so we can get to the next level, so God can have his way.
Lord,
come on, God.
Have your way.
We need you, God.
Open our eyes.
We need you, God. We need you, God. See, we don't come to play church, God. We're a real church. We don't come to play church because the church resides within us, God. We need your glory, God. We need your glory. If we can't get it from this singing, God, then we need to get it through something, God. We need your glory, God. Oh, God, it's not good enough for just me to see it, God. It's not good enough, God. It's not good enough, God. We got to see you. We got to see you, God. Holy God. Have your way here tonight, God. Have your way, God. Have your way.
We need your glory. We need your glory. We need your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that whistling when we're talking in it? Do you hear a whistle?
A little bit.
We need to fix that.
Thank you for your glory, God.
Oh, bless you, God. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, God. You know, sometimes it just feels like this is it. This is the end. Doesn't it? Sometimes it does. Come on, be honest. Be honest. You're just having such a hard time getting in the spirit. You know, things just don't seem to work, be working out. You know, folk that you expected to be there just don't show up, you know. And it's like it's like you really gotta press through. You know what I'm saying? At least you can be honest and tell me. That's why I always ask you. I know you'll be honest. You don't have to hide nothing. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, though, it really, sometimes it feels like it's just over, doesn't it? It's like, man, God, you know, we were having such a good time 2 weeks ago, or last week, or the week before last, whatever it was. We were having such a good time. We were in the spirit, you know, and the Holy Spirit was doing a number on us, and we were line dancing and all that stuff. And then this Sunday came, Sunday the 18th, and we are in your syndrome. Where is me? Where is the Holy Spirit at? Y'all know who Eeyore is, right? I just don't know if I can praise the Lord tonight. All right, Pooh, anything you say, why don't you preach? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we sometimes think that when it's over, it's over. Don't we? Well, it's over. I'm dead now, okay? But is it really? When it's over, it's over. But is it really? Good question, huh? I'll let you ponder it for a while. There's a guy that I was reading in Scripture. Check him out. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 6. 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 6. And that's really interesting because he's got a story to tell. He's got a story to tell. Are you with me yet? Hallelujah. 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 Let me just read this quote for you real quick. This is by John Claypool. And he says, I've learned something through all my experiences, that every exit is also an entrance. Every time you walk out of something, you walk into something. I got into this world by dying in the womb, and it must have been painful to get ripped out of that familiar place. But that was the prerequisite of my getting into time and space. You know, at the end of my life in history, there's going to be a similar kind of transition experience. And if we get at the terror, if we can get at the terror of death by saying it is a transformer rather than it's a transformer instead of an annihilator, then also we can get rid of the idea that death is a thief and is taking something that is rightfully ours, which is the basis of all the rage that I know. Death is not an annihilator, but a transformer. Do you have the scripture? Mm-hmm. In those days, Hezekiah became deadly ill. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came and said to him, thus says the Lord, get your house in order. Isn't it interesting how God sends you a word? You're on your deathbed and God had a word for you. Get your house in order. Now that's what we should practice, though. We should have our house in order when we're about ready to check out. Is that right?
Amen.
Get your house, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech you, Lord, earnestly, remember now how I walked before you in faithfulness and truth, and with a whole heart entirely devoted to you, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I'll tell you what, that's a disposition for the favor of God. He turned his face to the wall and prayed and told the Lord of his relationship with him. That's something that some of us are going to need one day. We're going to need to be able to stand before God when he gives us a word that we're just not ready to receive. And we're going to have to stand before God. We're going to need to be able to stand before God and say, God, you know, I've served you earnestly. Do you remember, Lord, I've walked with you faithfully and in truth within my whole heart, Lord. I've been entirely devoted to you, God. And I've done what is good in your sight, Lord. And you need to be ready and willing to weep and cry and whatever it takes to get God's attention in this matter. We need to be in that place someday. We need to be there. We need to have that attitude someday. Now check this out. This shows you. We're talking about disposition for prayer. Disposition for favor. I'm sorry. We're talking about the disposition for favor. Look at what happened. Verse 4. Before Isaiah got out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Wait a minute. All I got to do is get in a position, a posture of humility before God. When he gives me a word that I'm just not favorable with, all I have to do is get in the disposition of a posture of humility and say, God, please remember. All I have to do is allow God to see that this is breaking my heart, Lord, because I love serving you. I love being alive to serve you, God. Can I just stay alive so that I can serve? God, I don't want to die yet. I don't want to die yet, Lord. All I need is to be in a posture of humility before God and present my case, and God hears it. Before the prophet got to the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Wow. I can see Isaiah now standing there saying, okay, God, now what? Seriously, think about it. You just gave the king a word from God. God gave you a word, and you came all the way down from your mountain somewhere to go visit the king, deliver the word to him, and as soon as you deliver the word and head out the door, and on your way out, halfway down, God says, I had another word for you. Wow. Now check this out. Turn back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your forefather, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Wow. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you will go up to the house of the Lord. I will add to your life 15 years and deliver you and the city of Jerusalem out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Is God something? Is God something? Let's think about that for a second. Here he is sending his prophet, the mouthpiece of God, to deliver a vital message.
Yes.
Now, every message that God sends his prophet to deliver is a vital message. There's no distinction. It could be life or it could be death, but still, you know, it's still a vital message. And here he comes delivering this vital message to the king. And the king, as soon as he gets that word, he breaks apart. He falls apart. He falls apart.
Yes.
Now, some of us think, oh, you know, you're the king. You ought to be more proud than that. Wait a minute. But you get a word from God. Let me come to your house with the word of the Lord and say, hey, thus says the Lord, you're not going to get better. You're going to die. You're not going to live. You will not recover. Then you're going to say, all right, thanks. I don't think so. Man, oh man. I don't think so. I can hear the whining and crying now. You may wait till I get out the door, but I guarantee you, your face is going to break. That stiff, stern, I'm all man. I bet you your muscles will be trembling like you ain't never seen them tremble. I'm trying to tell you, I've been watching the muscle bodybuilder guys where they make their chest wiggle and jump up and down. I'd like to see all your muscles wiggle when I give you the word of the Lord. I like to see you tremble in. Cry your eyes out. But God, I'm telling you, I would. But here's what the difference is. Hezekiah has something in his favor. I don't know if y'all caught that when you were reading the scripture. Maybe you didn't catch it. Hezekiah had something in his favor.
Yes.
He was able to plead his case before God because he had something in his favor.
Right.
He wasn't just an ordinary Joe coming up to God and begging him, please, 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 Lord, because I don't want to die. I want to live a little longer. I want to hang out. He wasn't no ordinary Joe.
There you go.
He wasn't no ordinary Joe. Hezekiah had a testimony.
Yes, he did. You're right.
Didn't he?
Oh, yes.
That's something. He came before the God. He came before the Lord.
Yeah.
Snotty nose, runny eyes, watery, and all sweaty, and crying his eyes out, wetting the wall and the carpet and everything. He didn't care what he messed up. He didn't even care who saw. I'm sure he had servants in the room. Mm-hmm. I don't know of a king that doesn't have a servant always around him. Do you? There's always a servant. There's always somebody. And he probably had a whole team of them. Whole bunch of folk. They were right there when he got that word.
Right.
But they also knew him quite well. And according to what I'm seeing here, sounds like he was quite righteous. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he had a righteous personality. He was really cool. People knew him well. His servants knew him well. They probably were crying too.
Mm-hmm.
Who would cry for you when you get your word? Who will cry for you? Will they see your righteousness and know your righteousness and be so compelled to join you in tears because they don't want anything to happen to you? Or will you just be whining and crying by yourself, hoping that God in heaven that somehow you didn't have time to believe in will hear you? Wonder about that anytime? You ever think about that? I do. I don't know about you, and I've been saved for a long time. But I wonder sometimes, you know, Lord, am I still measuring up? Do I have that clout with you, Lord? Because, you know, I've been sick a little while, Lord. Been dealing with some stuff. You know, and you land in the hospital, and they can't figure out what's wrong. It makes you start wondering, you know? It makes you think. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't sweat it much because I know I do know God. Mm-hmm. I do know, I know I have the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
I do know that. I do know that I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I do know that. Mm-hmm. But I wonder how many actually know. I wonder how many that claim to know actually have what they claim to have. If the Lord were to deliver this word to many of them, I have to tell you, when it's over, it's over. To many people, when it's over, it's over. There ain't no second guessing. There ain't no plea. When it's over, it's over.
Right.
The word of the Lord comes, you're laying on your hospital bed, the word of the Lord comes, you heard it, nobody else did but you, and there ain't nothing you can say about it.
Right.
You know, if you haven't done anything worth God listening to, don't even bother trying to talk to him. Think about it. Many people, as soon as the word of the Lord comes, let's say it's the word of the doctor. As soon as the word of the doctor comes, we know the doctor can be a prophet sometimes. Doctor comes in and prophesies, he's like, madam, you have 35 seconds to live. Even 35 seconds, the only thing you can think of is, huh? I'm serious. You don't have no clout. You don't want to even force yourself to believe that God would listen to you because you never took the time to listen to him. You wouldn't know his voice if he wrote it down on paper. Oh, he did. We have 66 books of the voice of God. And you never bothered to venture into it to see and hear what thus says the Lord. And now you're laying on this, what has now become your deathbed, because you got a prophecy from the doctor.
That's a good word.
And you have no idea what to do. Hezekiah had a relationship.
Right.
He had a relationship with the Most High God. He was in many ways born again. Can I say that? Can I say that? I mean, we're talking Old Testament. We're talking Old Covenant. I understand that. But in some ways, Hezekiah was born again. He had a relationship with the Almighty God.
He did. Oh, yes.
I mean, if you want to have a relationship with anybody, that's a relationship to have. And then when we find out that God is sending you a message through the prophet, even if the prophet happens to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And you can get it up against your wall, and you can cry sorely, oh God.
Yeah.
Hezekiah had a relationship.
Yeah,
he had a testimony. He had hope. You know what the interesting thing about a Christian is?
Yeah.
A Christian has hope.
Yes, we do.
A Christian has relationship. A Christian has testimony. Oh God. What else could you ask for in an hour of need? You know, it isn't about the devil coming and attacking you. It's about sometimes it's just the natural course of things. It's just the natural course of things. The scripture doesn't say Hezekiah was under attack by the devil and became sickly. He became definitely ill because of the devil's attack. It doesn't say that. But here we are. Brother so-and-so is in the hospital. He's suffering from cancer of the brain. And everybody immediately says, oh, the devil. The devil is attacking brother so-and-so. But sometimes it's just the natural course of things. I know it's hard to understand. It may be hard to accept, but death is the natural course of things. Death is promised to all of us. There's not one of us that's not promised to die. And those of us that are still alive when Christ comes back, you may as well have been dead. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying, you know, think about it. The scripture says that death is promised to all of us, and after that, to judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather die right now, you know, be in God's presence, be judged, and dealt with. So I rejoice. But actually, quite honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm be like Hezekiah right now. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I want to live.
Yeah.
I want to live, because as long as I'm alive, I have opportunity to serve God.
Yes.
And there is something about it that tops death anytime.
That's right.
You know, it tops death anytime. When I think about it, yeah, persecution. Okay, what about it? Persecution. Somebody doesn't like my message? Give me a break. Who's persecuted by that but them? They still got to listen to it. I preached it. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about that.
Yes.
What else could you throw at me? You know, in the world, man. You got a lot to deal with. Yeah, we got a lot to deal with. That's the reason why I love it. Because serving God is an amazing opportunity. It's absolutely amazing to stand before the Almighty God and surrender yourself to Him to be used of Him. Hezekiah had a testimony because he did that, and so do we. We have a testimony before God because we allow Him to use us. So when we get that word from God, when that word comes from, regardless of where it comes from, we can get before God. And you know what the interesting thing is about us going before God? We don't necessarily have to go and weep and cry over on the wall like He did. Because the scripture says that we can now approach Him boldly. It says that we can approach the throne of grace boldly.
Yes,
I may have changed heart. So that says something to me. Wait a minute. I can actually walk into the presence of God. And because I've walked not as in the flesh, but in the spirit, when I get in the spirit, I can actually touch those things that are intangible in the flesh. You see what I'm saying? I can move into the spiritual realm, and I can touch spiritual things. Mm-hmm. I could walk beside angels. In fact, there'd be angels lining up against the wall, and I'm like, well, excuse me, Lord. I even walk right up to the throne of God.
Yeah.
Not because of me, but because of who saved me.
Yes.
Because of the one who I represent. Oh, like we were talking about earlier, I could walk up in the authority of the one who sent me. It's His authority that gives me the right. God, listen, can I talk to you for a minute? God, you've seen my testimony. You know better than anybody. Now, if I'm wrong, you know I'm wrong. But you've seen my testimony. You have it written down. You said you wrote it down in the book. And God, I'm just saying, look, I love serving you. I want to live. I want to live a little longer, Lord. Can you just imagine when God goes and whispers to the prophet, even if he was your doctor? When he whispers to the prophet,
you're going to have to go back and tell him you made a mistake.
Doctors don't want to do that, though. They'll come back and say, Mr. Johnson, it seems that the technician missed something when we did your biopsy. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry. We were looking for the cancer, and for some reason, it might be hiding behind something else, but it's just not there where we saw it before. Mr. Johnson, I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell you. Remember those 36 seconds I told you? Well, it's been 40. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm glad I have a testimony. You know why I have a testimony? You know why you have a testimony? You know why you can stand before God, why you can walk into His throne room in the spirit and talk to Him face to face? Why you can say to Him, God, you know, I love serving you. I really would like to stay. Because this is why Hezekiah had it too. He had a godly life. He had a godly life. A godly life opens up the door for you to communicate with the Almighty. Because He's not really interested in someone who's walking in a direction that He's not walking. So if you're living a godly life, God takes time for you. Look at Psalm 15, would you? We're going to look at Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. A godly life. A godly life. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. Hallelujah. Check this out. It says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors and fears the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does this thing, or these things, excuse me, will never be shaken. An upright life. You have an upright life, you can stand before God. You'll never be shaken. The doctor can tell you anything he wants. You can still approach the throne room of grace and talk to Almighty God, and God can change his mind. Even if it was a word directed from heaven, God can change his mind because you have a godly life. Let's look at another scripture in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Proverbs 10, verse 9. It says, he who walks in integrity walks securely. Let me say that again. I think you missed it. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. He who walks in integrity walks securely. That isn't talking about securely in the natural sense. It's talking about securely in the spiritual sense. You're secure. God has you wrapped up. God's got his arms around you. He's protecting you. He's your sword and your shield. He is. He's a never-changing help in times of trouble. That's your God.
Thank you, Lord.
But you see, again, let me just reiterate. There's a life. There's a life change that needs to take place. Because God doesn't do that for everyone. It says here that he who perverts his ways will be found out. Imagine that one that perverts his ways and he gets the same message that you did.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, it's typical for anyone and everybody to cry out to God when they realize something's wrong. Oh my God! But it's different when a Christian cries out to God, because a Christian knows who he is. Now the scripture says, and we talked about faith once before, and the scripture says that without faith it's impossible to please God. But for everyone who comes to God must come knowing that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So wait a minute. That means that that perverted one who continue to act as though there's no God because he doesn't really believe that there is God, when he cries out to God, God's like, you hear something? Sound like something fell. I can't even imagine God even paying attention to the cry. It's like, you know, somebody, turn some of that reverb on. It's making noise. The system's making noise, guys. You got to fix that. Okay, well, could you fix that? But as a Christian who has set their life straight, walking the path with God, not making a crooked path for themselves, going each way that they want to go and doing what they want to do, but one who has chosen to submit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that's that one who God hears, because he lives a godly life. Now, let me read this last scripture here. I got you can look at Romans 6, 1 through 23 if you like to, just for some New Testament reference. But let me read this here. This is from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. They also do no iniquity, not a little bit, not a little bit here and there. No iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's the one that God's going to listen to. Now check this out. There's power in confession. There's power in confession.
Yes, there is.
Absolute power in confession. How do you get a godly life? Well, there's steps you got to take, right? We know the first step we have to take is to receive Christ, right? And then the second step we have to continue to take is an ongoing, continuous experience as we continue to renew our minds. We continue to confess. We know that 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's an ongoing process. Look with me at Psalm 32, verse 5. Psalm 32, 5. Check this out. See, we think that all of this stuff that we read in the New Testament is new. But we don't realize that these principles have never changed. They've been the same principles all along. But the guys back there didn't get it for some reason. Some of them just didn't get it. They weren't Hezekiahs. They just didn't get it. So what God's saying to us is, look, these things still exist that I've always talked about. I've always been the same. God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's been saying the same stuff throughout eternity. And nobody's been getting it. So let's see if we can get it today, okay? It says, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity, and I did not hide. 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 I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. Now in the Amplified it says, pause and calmly think of that. Now that's deep, huh? Read that again and pause and think about it. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. Selah. Wow, Lord. You forgave me. And because you forgave me, I can walk right in. So when I get the word of God, when the word comes, Kurt, this is it. I have two ways to look at it. I can either say, you know, Lord, I'm tired, I'm ready to go, okay. But I really don't think I'd ever be tired because I got so much to do, so much to keep me occupied. You know what I'm saying? God, I just want to stay. I just want to stay. I pray sometimes and say, I want to live until I don't care if I'm over 100. You know, I could see myself still preaching at that age. I could see myself still ministering, you know, having counseling sessions and reaching out and reaching and touching people's lives, prayer meetings, and, you know, all that stuff. I could see that because it's just something about it that, I don't want to leave this world just yet. I just want to be here. But I know that my life needs to line up if God's going to allow me to stay. So when he sends me that word, I'm ready. I think I'm ready. I hope I'm ready. I'm going to try to stay ready. Okay? Now, the deep thing about Hezekiah and his situation is this.
And it's ours too. This is what we need to begin to look at too. There's something about when God gives you a word, when God does a work in your life. Have you ever seen someone get healed and then turn around and go right back to the life that led to the disease or the infection or the thing that was killing them? Have you ever seen someone do that? God is saying this. He's showing us through Scripture that he's willing to repent. He's willing to change his mind and give you another opportunity. And I've seen him do that with guys who have sinned too, sinned against him. I've seen him do that. He gives you another chance. And see, it's up to you to decide how you're going to handle it after that. Now, Hezekiah apparently was a righteous man, but he wasn't prepared for something. You see, God has a motive for healing you, but the enemy has a motive too. Hezekiah wasn't ready, wasn't prepared for the enemy's motive. He wasn't prepared. So if you would, turn back to 2 Kings 20, and this time go down all the way down to verse 12. And we need to see this because I think it's really important that we talk about this. I think it's really important that we don't miss this because we can get set up. It's so easy to think, oh, wow, I got it, and just go on about your way and forget about all the reasons why you really asked for it. All the reasons why you asked. And sometimes people will say, God, if you heal me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I promise you, if you go and run the wrong direction, your life will be short. So let's read this. Would you like to read for me? Starting at verse 12.
At that time, Baraduc, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king in Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick.
Hold on 1 second. So here, the king of Babylon sent a letter, or sent letters, not just one. In essence, he was really trying to get in touch. Now, when Babylon's calling, think about it. When Babylon's calling, we ought to not be home. But he's sending letters, lots of letters. He sent letters to Hezekiah, for he had heard of Hezekiah's illness. That's pretty interesting. I think you got to pay attention to that. Your enemy is sending you letters because he heard of your illness. You getting this? Your enemy is sending you letters because of your illness. I heard you were ill. Since when does your enemy want to send you condolences? So go read on.
And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things.
Now, my translation says, and Hezekiah rejoiced and welcomed the embassy and showed them all his treasure house. Go ahead.
The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his domain that Hezekiah showed them not.
Keep on.
Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him,
okay, hold on 1 second. Let me say this. Here comes the word of the Lord. We just got finished. Now, I cut a few verses out, but it says, and after this, after Hezekiah received the word from the prophet saying, you're going to be healed, on the third day you'll go to the temple. Right after that, almost directly after that, after the thing was proven, 3 days later, I imagine, this takes place. The enemy doesn't take no time to tear down the thing that God is building. We need to keep our eyes open. Go ahead.
What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in my house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord.
Here comes the word.
Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, that which thy fathers have laid up in store to this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou hast beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?
Hold on 1 second. Now, two things you notice here. First, the word of the Lord, it actually is worse for Hezekiah now than it was when God was going to take him out. Did you realize that? Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. Now, not only is God taking him out, but the kingdom's coming down.
Yes.
You see how important it is for us to be aware of the trick of the enemy? It's important. When God heals you, when God delivers you, when God saves you, the enemy's sending letters. He's going to send letters. Folk you ain't heard from in a long time going to be on the phone calling you. Hey, you want to come and hang out? I got a new car. We could go riding. Oh, I know you're a Christian, so I won't do any. I know I smoke and everything, but you don't have to. Hey, I hear you were sick. Wow, you got better, huh? Come on, let me buy you a drink to celebrate. The enemy's gonna be sending letters. He's gonna be trying to get in touch with you, and if you're not paying attention, you're gonna take it as though it's a friend. That's what Hezekiah did. He's so taken back by the fact that God, the Almighty God, gave him another 15 years. Just three days later. Really, it's the day of his healing. Right after that, the scripture says, he got letters from the enemy. He got summons by the enemy to go hang out. And he's been walking righteous all this time, and now he got letters from the enemy. And he takes the enemy into his house. You know that message we preached not too long ago, pride won't break your fall. He showed them everything he had. How many times have we done that? You need to be careful, because the enemy's going to be beckoning you right after God heals you. Now, where were you?
And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water to the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah?
That's it. One more verse. Start 21.
And Hezekiah slept with his fathers.
Good.
And Manasseh slept.
Good. Hezekiah slept with his fathers. That simply means he dropped dead. He dropped dead. So, here's the point. When it's over, it's over. Or is it? Who knows? I really think that that's a question that you have to toss around with God. In your situation, it may be over. The only reason why I say that is because I know that not all of us are walking uprightly. Because I know that some of us aren't committed to the vision. God has a vision that he called us to. And if you're not willing to protect yourself and the people that God has entrusted you, what is the purpose of him sparing your life? What would be the purpose? So that you can let the enemy in to see everything that you have, everything God's blessed you with, so that they can come along later on and wipe you out, destroy your kingdom. whatever your kingdom is, we all have a kingdom, whatever God's blessed us with, whoever he's entrusted to us, our families, our churches, our ministries. And yet we let the enemy come in under false pretenses and take it right from under us. It's no wonder he fell, he dropped dead. I think I dropped dead too. If I did something foolish enough to allow someone to come and take this ministry and the people and hurt the people of God in this ministry, I've dropped dead too. But you see, listen, the message isn't always about the healing. Do you realize that? The message isn't always about the healing. The message is about what you do with the healing. The message is about allowing God to have the purposes of your life fulfilled after he stops death from taking you. After that thing that's been chasing you all your life has been cut down and destroyed. That's what it's about. So I challenge you. I challenge all those who are listening, who are hearing my voice right now. I challenge you. In the name of Jesus right now, I challenge you. As you're standing before God in the moment of your recovery, did you just come to know the Lord recently? Did God just heal you? Did he deliver you? But while you're standing before the Lord right now, having been healed, delivered, saved, whatever the case may be, will you let the enemy distract you and steal everything that God has blessed you with? The question is for you to answer. We have the answer for you, but we need you to know it. The last thing I want to leave you with tonight, for both our listening audience and for those who are sitting here in our church tonight, have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? He gave himself for you. He died. He was beaten. He took a torturous beating for your sake so that you wouldn't have to continue to walk in a path that leads to your destruction. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you haven't already, will you accept the Lord as your Savior and Lord tonight? Will you allow Jesus Christ to lead you and guide you down the path of righteousness so that you can stand before God and boldly in the day of the word of the Lord? You can stand boldly. Will you allow him to be your Lord tonight? Will you allow him to be your Savior? If so, we're going to ask you to do something. We'd like for you to give us a call, 866-475-3167. Give us a call. Myself or one of our ministers would love to talk to you. We'd love to share the scripture with you and pray with you and give you an opportunity to restore your life. We'd love to give you an opportunity to meet the risen Savior. Give us a call. 866-475-3167. We're looking to hear from you. We only pray that this message has been a blessing to you and that you will continue to listen and continue to learn the things that God has for you. Continue to walk as the Savior walks and with the Savior by your side. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. In his name alone, amen.
Wow, what a timely word. We're so thankful for the word of God and for the provision that God has made for us in order that we might become friends and family of the Almighty. We just ask that if this message has been a blessing to you, that you would contact us at info@lwcc2010.org. That's info@lwcc2010.org. And also, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-475-3167. 866-475-3167. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you.